Talks over the next 2 weeks are expected to become a turning point in the global debate over addressing the causes of a rapidly warming planet. The lofty speeches have already begun, but what do leaders gathering in Paris this week hope to accomplish, and what could get in the way? We check in with Seth Bornstein, science writer for the Associated Press. He joins us tonight from Paris. And Michael Levy is with the Council on Foreign Relations. He's the director of its program on energy, security, and climate change. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. Seth Bornstein, what are all these nations gathered in one place hoping to accomplish this time?
Well, this time they're hoping to come up with some kind of deal, a binding deal, that could reduce the amount of carbon emissions coming from burning fossil fuels. They've tried year after year and have failed year after year in the past.
When you say binding, I just want you to clarify that. Do you mean binding on nations to hit certain targets, binding on nations to come up with a certain amount of money? Binding in what way?
That's the key question. Everyone says they want something binding, but it's sort of, what do you mean by binding? And that's one of the issues that's going to be hashed out here. It does involve lots of money, billions of dollars, if not eventually trillions. It involves all these nations, 181 nations have made pledges. Here's what we're going to do individually. Now the binding part is holding them to these pledges, a system to monitor these pledges, and perhaps if you're not reaching these pledges, what do you do? And then it's all got to be designed so that it doesn't go through the U.S. Senate, because it can't go through the U.S. Senate because of American politics.
And American politics means that that requires a two-thirds ratification in the U.S. Senate, and that's unlikely to happen. I want to ask Michael Levy about what we've seen in the past. We have been to these meetings before in Cancun and Rio and Kyoto and Copenhagen. Is this one any different?
I think this one is different. And I think it's different because we're starting to set realistic goals for what these summits can accomplish. We used to go to these expecting to take a global emissions cut that everyone needed to reach and negotiate over how to divide it up. Then everyone would go home and execute that. It was kind of like old-style arms control negotiations. I'd get rid of this many missiles. You'd get rid of that many. We'd go home. We'd do it. It turns out the climate change isn't like that. Leaders can agree to whatever they want, but actually changing the energy economy is incredibly difficult. And it's a lot more like a domestic policy problem and a domestic politics problem than it is like a traditional foreign policy or national security issue. So what's different this time is that instead of putting the burden on Paris to solve the problem, negotiators are asking, how can we build an international agreement that helps countries solve the problem themselves? How do we help them cut their emissions more deeply? How do we help them adapt to climate change? I think that makes this fundamentally different.
What would you say, Mr. Bornstein just talked about the money which has to be committed here, what would you say would be the potential major sticking point in the next 11 days?
I think the biggest sticking point is likely to be over money. When we saw the clash in Copenhagen 6 years ago, the ultimate turning point was over money. This is money that comes from wealthier countries to help poorer countries adapt to climate change, deal with the damages caused by climate change, and transition their energy economies. And it speaks to a basic political reality, which is if you're from a poor country and you go home from the climate summit and you say, we've got some pledges, countries are going to take action in the next 10 years, and that's going to help us avoid dangerous climate change in the next 50, your people are going to look at you and say, what does that mean to me today? If you come back with pledges of aid in addition, then that's a stronger political proposition. So if you look at the basic politics of how this works, it leads you to money.
Seth Bornstein, we did hear, speaking of money today, some private sector giants with names like Gates and Bezos and Zuckerberg promised to make a commitment to a green energy fund. Does that change this in any way, or is this something for the U.S. to trumpet?
This is something quite a bit different than the previous years. You are seeing, and this has happened in the last couple years, but it's especially happening now, private industry money, business, they're stepping up, and they're probably doing more than many countries, and that's helping. They're seeing sort of the reality of the economics and climate change, and they're saying, if you're going to do something, let us volunteer instead of you impose, and let us help do something with technology. So, I mean, what you're looking at is both technology and business are dramatically different than, let's say, 1997 in Kyoto. Those are two of the biggest reasons why many people are optimistic this time, because the technology is so different, has improved so much, and the business community, much of the business community is on board now.
Okay, well, we'll be watching all this very
India
closely.
To watch.
As I'm sure you will too, Seth Borenstein of the CSCA Press and Michael Levy of the Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you both.
Thank you.
My pleasure.